And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Rewind stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we're going to open a Malbec. Yes, we're switching gears a little bit. We're going to open what I hope is a really fine wine. This is a Reserva from Argentina. Now, someone in the chat was asking me last week, do I like Argentinian wines? And I replied, I do. And as a matter of fact, we had one right behind me. Now it's in front of me and we're going to open it tonight and we're going to taste it. We're going to pair it with some foods. We're going to review it and we're going to see if it's every bit of a Malbec as I hope and, well, anticipate it to be. We'll find out. We'll have a lot of other fun too. We're going to talk about sci-fi a little bit. Sci-fi movies, TV shows, tell me your favorites or the ones you don't like. It's fine. It's fine. Favorites are good. We're going to toast some national days. I have a special anniversary toast to give out to a fellow podcaster tonight also. So I'm looking forward to toasting him as well. Also, some more dad jokes. I'm up for some more dad jokes, and bring your best or worst dad jokes into the chat. That's fine. Welcome those. And one more film. We have a short video from the Boone Daily tonight. And you know, we've been doing that the past few weeks. It's become a little bit of a regular here on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. We have another one to show tonight. And to be honest, this is a brand new one. I don't think anybody's seen this yet, so looking forward to checking it out. So, if you're joining me for the first time or the 154th time, because this is the 154th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes. I have them right here, ready to go. I've been referring to them already, as a matter of fact. But I don't always follow them verbatim. Sometimes I don't follow them that much at all because this show is not about me. It's about the wine somewhat. But this show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, kicking back, relaxing with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are. You can drink wine, you can drink beer, you can drink soda, you can drink water. Tequila's fine too. That's fine. Or any variation thereof. Rum, Coke, rum and Coke, maybe just some Coke. That's fine. A Coke and a smile. Sodas, water. You can drink water. And I have some water right here with me as well. Whatever you want to drink. You don't have to drink anything. But, you know, I do recommend that you at least stay hydrated. Have some water. It's good for you. It really is. We're just kicking back, relaxing, and enjoying a Saturday night. And we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. Keep them out of the chat. And also, this is a family-friendly show, let me remind you. So let's keep the chats clean, okay? Usually I don't have a problem with that. But our mods are pretty good about watching that, too. So jump in the chat and say hi. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Tell me what you like to be drinking. Or tell me what you'd like to see me drinking. And if I can afford a bottle of it, I'll see if I can buy one and drink it too, right along with you. All right, tonight, this is what we're drinking tonight. This is an M&K Winery Malbec Reserva, 2020 Reserva from Argentina. And I'll show you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But before I do want to remind you that if you're watching, you can watch live on Facebook. You can, Facebook page is Drink with Rick. You can watch live on Twitter. Twitter is at Drink with Rick. You can watch live on Twitch. Twitch is Drink with Rick and the number one, all one word, Drink with Rick one. That's twitch.tv/DrinkWithRick1. And we're on, where else are we? Oh yes, we're on YouTube. Can't forget YouTube, can we? YouTube is Drink with Rick. And also on Odyssey. We are on Odyssey. And, right now, tonight, it's, Odyssey is, under Saturday Night Wine Stream. That's where we are, tonight. And there's a live chat going on each of these venues. Now you can also watch live on our website. The website is Drink with Rick. DrinkWithRick.com. I don't have a live chat going there. I do have a comment box there. And if you want to comment, you can drop a comment in the comment box. You have to click on the post for that live stream going on. Then you'll get the comment box. You can post your comments and I will respond in kind. Won't be right away, but it'll be, you know, eventually. And I'll read them. I'll read them on the next episode of the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I haven't had any yet, folks. The night is young. The night is young. Okay. Okay. So once again, you can also, watch in any of those venues, plus the podcast. If you can't watch now, you can't watch later. The podcast goes out Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, any of these, Deezer Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Stitcher? No, okay, Stitcher's in there too, and I think they just did an update. I got an email from Stitcher the other day. Amazon Music, podcastindex.org, that is the Podfather's website. Adam Curry's site, and by email. Now, if you click on the little blue button that says by email, if you go on the website at drinkwithrick.com, click the subscribe page, click on the little blue button that says email, put your email address in the box, and I will do nothing else with that email except you'll just get that podcast. You'll get the podcast every week into your email box as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. I don't do anything else with that email. Now, you can unsubscribe at any time, but please don't. Please don't. It's fun. It's fun. Enjoy the show. Okay, so I'm going to show you the wine again, but first, let's go into the chats and see who's in the chats. Chat's a little quiet right now. Since daylight savings time started, it seems like people wandering the chat a little bit later. Everybody's out, I don't know, doing what everybody does on a Saturday night, but the chats are wide open, and you can get in there, and you can chat with me, but they are all operational, and we are going gangbusters here on all of these venues live. So, here's what we've got to drink tonight. Again, M&K Winery Reserva Malbec 2020. This is a wine from Argentina. Now, I'm going to read the back of this wine so we can read the back here. It says, M&K Winery, Malbec Reserva 2020. The Yuko Valley in Cuyo, Argentina, has extraordinary conditions to produce our wonderful fruit-forward wines. The Reserva Malbec will enchant you with its red fruits, blackberries, and subtle notes of violets and minerality. We aim to captivate your soul and mind. Now, it says, let it amaze you at 16 degrees centigrade, which converts to 60 degrees Fahrenheit in the USA. It is produced and bottled by FLC G-72952. Okay. Imported by Americal Beverage Group Incorporated in San Clemente, California. And this is a wine from Argentina. This is a product of Argentina, and there is 14% alcohol by volume, ABV, in this 750-milliliter bottle of wine. So that's what we have to drink tonight. Now, let me show you what we have to pair it with. We have this wonderful, wonderful dish that my lovely wife, Chi, has prepared for us. We have some New York strip steak right here. That should go okay with the Malbec, shouldn't it? And then for the cheeses tonight, we have a couple of new ones. Now, we do have the Cracker Barrel. This is Cracker Barrel cheddar. We do not have the double cream Gouda from Trader Joe's tonight, but we do have this cheddar Parmesan. This is from Aldi. And then this is a Sartori Wheel Espresso. Never tried this before. These two are brand new cheeses. So looking forward to trying this. And then my lovely wife made this beautiful, beautiful garnish in the middle of the plate. Isn't that wonderful? She's amazing. I tell you, my wife is an amazing, amazing person. She really is. So that's what we have going on tonight. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and open this bottle of wine in just a moment or two. Let me check the chats one more time. It looks like we're good, and looks like everything's fine there. Let me make sure I'm in. Everything's good. Okay, good. All right, so let's go ahead and get to opening this bottle of vino from Argentina. No, I did not chill it. Now, I did say to chill it about 60 degrees Fahrenheit. I thought to do that before the show, but not soon enough before the show to do it, so it was really chilled. Besides, last couple of times I did this, it wasn't really that chilled by the time the show started, because I do a lot of show prep, and sometimes, you know, especially if the show didn't start right on time because of little glitches and things which we've had in the last few weeks, the wine starts to warm up a bit. So I might need to keep a bucket of ice. I might have to keep in a bucket of ice here in the future. I'm going to make a note to self. Later. If I remember. Probably won't, but, you know, whatever. Okay, so let's open up the wine, and this is going to be with the mechanical corkscrew given to me as a gift a couple of years ago by my lovely wife, Chi. She gives me so much. She really does. She's just an amazing person. I know I said that already, but I want to say it again because she is an amazing person. All right, and we have, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes, the aerator. We have the aerator. And my aerator. And this fits pretty well in here. Okay, good. And then to hold the grape nectar, I have my trusty Galway Genuine Irish Crystal Glass, given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. This is from Ireland. Came with a nice crystal carafe, too. So I one of these days I've got to bring it up. I think we used it one night a while back. All right, so I'm pouring a little bit. Whoa, I'm getting some aromas here right off the bat. Wow. Get a little swirl here. Let me have a chance to get some air in there, oxygen. Let's set it aside for just a moment, give it a chance to open up. And while it's doing that, let's learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, I went to a couple of sites. It's up there. It's online. You can find it online. Vivino has it. Gave it. Now this is the Reserva. Now the regular one, they had a rating of 3.2 stars. Spot, just a little above average. 3.2 stars, but that's for the regular Malbec. This is the Reserva Malbec. So you have to make that distinction. If you go hunt for it online, don't just type in, M&K Winery. Don't just type in M&K. Type in M&K Winery and then type in Reserva Malbec. If you don't do that, chances are you might get the regular Malbec. That's a little bit different. So this is the Reserva. Gets 3.5 stars on out of 66 ratings on Vivino. And I went around Wine Searcher. Wine Searcher gave it 3.5 stars out of 5 reviews. I did not read any of these reviews, to be honest. I didn't read any of them. I just went to the website because, well, for one thing, on here, just to find out the wine was up there, just maybe find out if it was everything it was supposed to be as far as what the grapes were and that sort of thing. But it is a Malbec from Yucca Valley, Argentina. According to the internet, and we all know the internet, everything on the internet is true, right? No, of course not. But I do trust some of these ratings on when it comes to the wines. Let's see the the reverse wine snob. I didn't see a rating for it, but they did mention that it's available exclusively at Trader Joe's in the U.S. And they say it sells for $6.99. And, they also say that here. It says not to be confused with the M&K lines of wines, also from Argentina. I'm reading this directly from the Reverse Wine Snob site, by the way, reversewinesnob.com. It says this is not to be confused with the M&K lines of wines, also from Argentina. And this comes from Bodegas Cairo. And this is missing the last A. So it's not Amankea, it's Amank. So that's what this is, Amank, not Amankea. So if you type the extra A in there, you're going to get the Amankea wine, which is a completely different wine, different winery. Let's see. Wine Searcher said that it is $10.99 a bottle from Bottle Bargains in New York. Oak and Barrel in New York has it for $12.99. This is excluding sales tax, and this is for the 750 milliliter bottle. So it's a little bit pricier in New York. I don't know. Do they have Trader Joe's? Anybody in New York? You have Trader Joe's up there? I don't know. I've only been to New York once, and I never hung out any Trader Joe's out there, so I don't know. I really don't know. So, yeah, that's what I've got here. But I'll tell you what I paid for it. Now, Vivino said around $6.99, $8.99, I think is what they said. Okay, $6.99, I think is what they said, right? Okay, let me check that and pull that up again here. I think they said, they were saying that available prices for a 3.5 Argentinian Malbec are starting at around $8.99. So, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I paid for it. I paid Trader Joe's. I paid for this M&K Malbec Uco Argentina $6.99. $6.99. So I think that's pretty much what, who has said that? Wine Searcher? I think that's what, no, that wasn't Wine Searcher. It was a reverse wine snob that mentioned that, I think. So that's what I paid for this wine. Now, if it's, well, let's find out. Let's find out. Let me give it a whiff. Mmm, earthy. Right on the nose, a little bit earthy. Kind of oaky there. And I'm getting a little blackberry up the nose there. Yeah, definitely blackberry. A little chocolatey. And it is earthy. It is earthy. This is a fairly bold wine. It's not like bold like that one we had last week. The one last week, I'll be honest with you, I did not finish that wine. It's still sitting in the fridge waiting for one of two things to happen. Either for Chi to use it for cooking, as she likes to cook with wine, or dump it out. I almost dumped it out, actually. You can go back and listen to that that previous one that I did from last week. It was I didn't like the wine. This so far is better. Let me give it another taste. Not a lot of tannin in this wine, but it is fairly earthy. Still tasting a little bit of chocolate in it. And some blackberry, maybe a hint of, strawberry, maybe just a little bit. It is a fairly dry wine, just to let you know. So it's not super dry, but it's fairly dry. There's really not any sweetness to it per se, but I do taste the alcohol just a little bit in here. It's not real bad, but it has a fairly long finish, and in the finish, I'm getting the alcohol back up in the finish. Which you can't say that I like that much, but it's a nice smooth finish. It is a fairly smooth finish. It does, yeah. It really warms the back of my throat. It does warm the back of my throat. So I would say that there is a fairly high alcohol content in this wine. I think I can feel it. Yeah. Getting something else in there. It does kind of taste like, they said it has minerals in it. It kind of tastes a little minerally, I guess. I guess it does. But yeah, I can taste the blackberries and just a hint of strawberry. But yeah, when they're talking about red fruits, I was expecting things like raspberries and cherries and things like that. And I'm not really getting that so much. Mostly the blackberry. So far, not a bad wine, and I like a good Malbec, so this is not a bad wine. It beats the one we had last week, I'll say that much. All right, I'm going to have a little more of this, and then we're going to pair it with some food. We're going to pair it with some food in just a few moments. But before I do that, let's get to the chats. See what's going on in the chats tonight. Kind of quiet there. I think even she skipped this episode. Oh, CM Center's in the chat. CM Center, good to see you. She says, bopping right back at you. I'm not sure what that means. What does that mean? Boop, bop, what does that mean? It's like, it sounds like you're trying to make R2-D2 noises or something. Is that R2-D2 noises? All right. Quiet on Odyssey. She says, I'm just saying silly stuff. Well, yeah, well, I do that a lot on this show, too. I say a lot of silly stuff on the show. So that's how I roll. I don't know. Okay. We got some activity from Fine Wines Buzz. That's a group. If you get a chance to check it out, by the way, I'll give them a shout out. Fine Wines Buzz. They talk about fine wine. It's a nice little group there. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to the show, and we're going to go ahead and pair it with some food. Let's pair it with some food. Shall we? All right, this is what we have on camera three. Camera three is up, and we have the New York strip steak. I'm going to try with this. It is getting cold, so the colder it gets, the harder it is to chew it and everything like that. But we'll go with it. It's steak. Come on, it's steak, right? All right. This was our dinner, by the way. Leftovers. So I know the steak tastes good. Nothing like leftovers, I always say. Not always, but sometimes. When they're good leftovers. Ah, and this steak was grilled on the grill outside. It was grilled on a gas grill. And I'm getting a little bit of the grilled flavor from that steak, a little bit. But what it did was it kind of mellowed out the wine a little more. The steak, it didn't overpower the wine. It was a nice compliment. The wine and the steak are complementing each other. Let me try another piece. But... Let me finish chewing first. Let's try it again. Yeah, the steak actually cuts a lot of the alcohol out of the wine. For some reason, I'm not getting so much of the alcohol taste in the wine with the steak. I think the steak, I'm not saying it overpowers the wine. It's not this steak was marinated before cooked. It was cooked. So there are some juices. There are some spices in it. But it's not overpowering the wine. But I think the flavor of the wine itself takes a back seat to the flavor of the steak. Let me just put it that way. It does. It's nice. It's a nice addition to the steak. It helps the steak, but it doesn't overpower the steak at all. And like I said, the one we had last week, maybe I'm just still a little, I don't know. Let me just have I don't want to say any more about that wine. I really don't. All right, let's forget about last week's wine, okay? Maybe I'll show a picture of it again later. Whatever, maybe not. Let's clear the palate. Let's try it with some cheese. Let's see how this Malbec works with some cheese. Let's go back to camera three. Now, camera three, we have the Cracker Barrel Cheddar. And this is... it has been a pretty good cheese for us with the wine stream, and it makes some of the wines a little on the creamy side, and some of the wines make it a little on the creamy side. So we're going to try it with this wine, and I'm probably going to pour a little bit more of this. little more. It has a nice color to the wine, actually. Mm-hmm. Once again, the wine that's there, I can taste the wine, not getting so much of the alcohol. And the finish is somewhat diminished because the cheese kind of takes over that. And it's not unexpected, but it's actually kind of nice. I think it's a fairly nice pairing with cheese, but I will say that the cheese takes over. Not overpower so much, but kind of takes over the prominent flavor. Whatever. Let's clear the palate. Okay, now let's go back to camera three. And let's try it with some of these new cheeses. Now, I've got a couple of new cheeses. Now, I don't know how they're going to taste on their own, but with the wine, I don't know. It's anybody's guess. I have not tried these cheeses before with or without wine. So we're going to try it. This is the, from what I've been told, is the cheddar parmesan. This is a cheddar parmesan from Aldi. So we're going to give that a taste. This is a fairly sharp cheese. It tastes like white cheddar and parmesan. Hence the name cheddar parmesan. And I have to try that again. Interesting enough is I thought I turned my phone off. I did turn my phone off. What happened here? I turned my phone off and somehow it came back on its own. I don't know how that happened. I really don't. Okay, let's try this again. Because I got thrown off by the sound of my cell phone going off. Normally I turn the cell phone off completely during the show. I don't like that kind of thing going on during the show. I don't want to be distracted away from you during the show. All right, let's go ahead and try this cheese again. Back here, there it is. Interesting cheese. It reminds me of the little bit of the unexpected cheddar with parm. Yeah, once again, the cheese takes front seat. The wine, it doesn't really do anything. I mean, the wine and the cheese are kind of even players there. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you're really not going to taste the wine so much. The wine really does kind of it's kind of secondary to the flavor of the cheese, which I think is interesting. Oftentimes we'll find when we're pairing these things that one will accentuate the taste of the other. Either the cheese will complement and accentuate the taste of the wine, or more often than not, if it's good wine, the wine will complement and accentuate the taste of the cheese, and they go well together. You know, the two great tastes that taste great together. In this case, I'll have to say that this is really probably not a foodie wine. Just because it doesn't take anything away from the flavor of the food, but the food seems to take away a little bit of the flavor of the wine. Let's clear the palate. So, let's go back to camera three. Now, let's try it. Now, this is another new cheese. This is called Sartori Wheel Espresso. Now, my lovely wife, Chi, said she was thinking espresso, meaning coffee. I don't know about coffee and cheese. I'm going into this one with a little bit of trepidation. I don't know. I'm not sure about this cheese. I don't know if she tried it first or not, but we'll try it. We'll try it now. no way. Yes way. Way. Okay. I'm going to try the wine this time. I want to try the cheese. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let me tell you something about this cheese. It's called Sartori Wheel Espresso. My lovely wife, Chi, was absolutely correct. I wasn't sure whether to believe it or not because it kind of looked like the cheese we had here on here before that had the – it was the cheese with the, you know, with the Merlot skin. Now, that's what it looked like. It has a purpley skin. I don't know. Let's go back to this for a second. Kind of a purple skin here. Look at that. But something else that it does have on here. Let me see if I can get a little bit closer with this. This has some kind of, it looks like pepper in it or something. But that's not, it's not what it tastes like. I'm going to try this again. All right. This is a very different cheese. Let's try it with the wine. Wow. All right, I've got to give that one more try. Back to camera three. I can't say I really like this cheese, but something interesting, very interesting happened when I tasted the cheese with the wine. Let's pour a little bit more of this wine here. Okay. All right, before we go any further, let me tell you something about this cheese. When it says Sartori Wheel Espresso, they mean Sartori. They don't mean Sartori Wheel Espresso. They mean Sartori Wheel Espresso. This cheese tastes like coffee. Not just coffee. I mean, espresso. It tastes like espresso. Very, very odd. Don't think I've ever had a cheese that tasted like espresso, like a coffee bean or something before. This is very, very unusual. And I tasted it here first on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. How about that? Now, I love coffee. Everyone who knows me knows that I love coffee. Coffee goes great with a lot of things. Coffee grows great with, Danish, you know, all kinds of pastries. Waffles, pancakes, a whole full breakfast, eggs, French toast. It goes great with bagels. Bagels with cream cheese. It goes great with a lot of those things, but cheese, coffee and cheese. I don't know. I don't know if I'm liking that. He says as he eats his third piece. I'm doing it for a reason. All right. Let's try this. See what we got. It's like coffee in my wine, a little bit. It's not bad, but it's just very unusual, very strange, unusual. I don't think I've ever tasted anything like that before. Coffee and wine. Coffee makes a good after dinner drink if you've had a nice meal with wine, and then you have coffee after. And that's kind of what it tastes like. You know, you ever go to a nice restaurant and you're having a dinner, 2-3-course dinner, and like I do that all the time. Yeah, I have occasionally, but I don't do that all the time. But you have the dessert. Well, you have the dinner and you're having the wine with the dinner, and then you have the dessert and you have the coffee with the dessert, and you've already had the wine with the dinner. Now comes the coffee. And you drink the coffee, and you still can have a little bit of the wine aftertaste in there, right? Kind of tastes like that. Kind of. I don't know if I'm really explaining that very well, but I need to clear the palate one more time. Just because I should. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, even with the water, it has kind of an espresso taste, aftertaste to that cheese. Very interesting. And with this Malbec, I don't know. I don't know if I could recommend it with the Malbec. Now, I'll give you my final review on this at the end of the show. The Malbec in general, I like the wine. I can't say it's I don't think it's my first choice to pair it with some of these foods. Now, this might go better with certain other foods. I think it might go better with maybe, it might go okay with some pasta, but not really. But this is probably go okay with something like a lamb or something. Maybe chicken or something, you know, like a grilled chicken or something. But it's not, I don't know, what do these places say about it? It doesn't look like they say a whole lot about what it pairs with. What about, it's not, they're not saying much on it. Okay, so, I don't know. I'll give you my final review at the end of the show. By the way, this is what it is. This is an Amonkhet. It's an Amonkhet Winery Reserva Malbec 2020. That's what we're drinking. It's okay. I love a good Malbec, and I love a good wine from Argentina. I'm just not sure this is one that I would pair with some of these particular foods. We'll see. I'll give you my final review at the end of the show. Anyway, so on with the show. It's quiet in the chats tonight. How about that? It is really quiet in the chats tonight. See him, Cinder? We could talk about sci-fi, but maybe we might have to do it next week. We need some sci-fi chatter in the chat there. How about that? All right. Let's see. What is next on the... Oh, yes, National Days. We've got some National Days to toast. We have some National Days to toast. So let's go into toasting the National Days. All right. Let me cue the National Day, the way. There we go. I forgot to do it the last couple of weeks. We're doing it tonight. We're toasting the National Days. All right. First off, the first National Day, April 2nd. Today is April 2nd for another hour and 42 minutes. April 2nd, 2022 is National Ferret Day. National Ferret Day. Yes. I like ferrets. They're cute. Hey, you know what? I had a ferret, and I didn't realize it was National Ferret Day until I started pulling these down just before the show. I have a ferret video. I have a really cool ferret video to show you. And I didn't have it queued up in time. I couldn't find it in time to queue it up. I'll just have to wait till next year, I guess. Whatever. But there's a story about ferrets. I was at a I was getting my car the oil change on my car. This was a couple of years ago, and there were a whole bunch of us. You know, a whole bunch of people in there. It was pretty full. A lot of people in there. Waiting for the cars to be serviced. And while we were waiting, a couple of people went outside and stood around outside. And there was this one lady who was sitting down on the curb outside. And I think she was looking at her phone or something. Then a couple of us, this other guy and me, we were just standing around, just kind of waiting to be called. And I looked down, and all of a sudden, there's this furry animal that just kind of like hanging around her and sniffing her purse. And I said, hey, don't look now, but there's a ferret there next to you. And she kind of freaked out at first. She looked down, she saw this thing, and it was just sniffing around her purse. just very curious. He had, you know, she was closest to the ground there, so she was kind of sniffing. He was just kind of sniffing around, checking out her purse. I don't think he was there to steal anything from her purse. He was just checking her out. And so, you know, we were all very surprised. And this ferret, I didn't know. I mean, we're at a car repair shop, an auto repair shop on a side road in Pineville, North Carolina. And, like, the last thing you would expect to see, you know, standing around there is a ferret running around. I just didn't really expect to see that. So, so we kind of figured that it must have gotten away from its owner, because it does happen. It happens sometimes where a ferret will get loose or get lost or something from, or get out of the house from its owner or whatever, and run off and just explore the world a little bit. So she called. I think she called the animal shelter, one of the animal shelter places around there, and they came and picked it up, and they posted a photo of it online. Saying, "Hey, lost ferret." I think somebody did. I'm assuming somebody did claim the ferret and take it home. But in the meantime, while we were waiting for them to get there, I took some video. I thought, "Hey, this is a great opportunity, you know, to show to all my viewers on the wine stream on Drink with Rick." So I started taking some video of this ferret, and I shot a bunch of little videos with it. You know, just kind of hanging around and looking around, and there were a couple of short videos I took where it would just kind of wander up and sniff my shoe, and it's kind of like checking out my shoe and, you know, that kind of thing, checking out my leg and everything. It was just, you know, because I was standing there. It's kind of cute, pretty harmless. But anyway, so I took some videos, and then I tried to show it on the wine stream that weekend. The thing is, the old computer that I was using was just too old. It couldn't handle the this was an MP4 that I took from my phone, and I didn't try to convert it to an MP4 that was maybe a smaller size. So it was too large, and the computer couldn't handle it, so it just kind of froze up the stream. So I had to bail from that. If anybody's remembers, I you know, I had an issue with that trying to show this video, but there were some cute videos. Maybe one of these days I'll show it again. It was National Ferret Day. I went too long with that, didn't I? It's a ferret story, and it's a ferret story that happened in relation to Drink with Rick. National Ferret Day. I'll drink to that. I know CM Cinder likes ferrets. You like ferrets, CM Cinder, right? Like a pet ferret. CM Cinder says, "Ah, well." yeah, you know, anybody have a pet ferret? Anybody like to have a pet ferret? CM Cinder says, "Ferrets are cute, but they are stinky and messy." They kind of do have a tendency to poop a lot. Yeah. Okay, it's... let's see. Let's get back to the national days. Speaking of poops a lot, you know, I don't have it here. I have it way over there. But my daughter and I are doing, if you don't know yet, that my daughter and I are doing a wine, not a wine stream, excuse me, a stream, a puzzle stream, twice a week on Sundays and Thursdays. We'll be doing one. The next one is Sunday night. Let me see if I can find this thing. Oh, the photos. Here we are. It's on the photos. Puzzle Zone. Sundays and Thursdays on twitch.tv/thepuzzlezone. If you're on Twitch, or even if you're not, go check it out. You don't have to log into Twitch to see it. You can see it. And also, twitch.tv has apps on I think, the Roku and on some of the smart TVs. So you can check it out on Twitch there, the Twitch channel, and check out the Puzzle Zone Sundays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. Oh, no, excuse me. 8 p.m. Eastern, excuse me. Sundays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/thepuzzlezone. We're putting puzzles together. We talk about stuff, and we're putting puzzles together. Just nice, relaxing. Some people will watch and just, you know, just chill. You know, sometimes they get in the chat. Sometimes they just chill and they watch while they listen while they're doing other things, and they just passively watch. And we've had one or two people get in there and help us solve the puzzles as well. So good stuff. Check it out. And we're doing the 101 Pooping Puppies. That's a puzzle we're doing. 101 Pooping Puppies. It's a puzzle. 1,000 piece jigsaw puzzle. With 101, well, we haven't counted them yet. We're going to when we finish the puzzle. 101 pooping puppies. They are puppies, and they're all pooping, and it's a very interesting puzzle, and we've been told it's a huge seller up in Blowing Rock, North Carolina, where we purchased it. I don't know if they told us that just so we'd buy one, but we were already purchasing it when the lady said, oh, yeah, this is a really huge seller for us. So I don't think she was – I think she was being honest with us. Okay, what else is it? April 2nd is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Oh, I've got to put the – there we go. National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. I'll drink to that. National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. It's also National Reconciliation Day. National Reconciliation Day. Don't hold grudges, folks. If you have a – you know. Reconcile your differences. That's the way to do it. This is our philosophy here. And this is why we do this show, so everybody can have a chance to get together, have a good time, forget about the troubles, forget about the worries. And if you are, and you know, to meet old friends, new friends, acquaintances, and to reconcile differences. And wine can help do that. National Reconciliation Day, I will drink to that. Reconcile. Reconcile your checking accounts, too, while you're at it. Don't forget to reconcile your checking accounts. National Reconciliation Day. You actually should do it once a month. Like I do it once a month. Yeah, right. Okay, it's also World Autism Awareness Day. World Autism Awareness Day. If you know when someone who is autistic, you know families of those who are autistic, you know, keep in mind that it is a daily struggle. The families have it's tough. It's tough for a lot of families who are dealing with, who have to deal with autism in their family, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge. There are many difficult challenges sometimes, and there are different levels of autism. There's some that don't have the autism is kind of light, and others where it's a really, really an extreme case. But in either case, be considerate of families who are dealing with autism, and help out. And it's a tough thing. It's World Autism Awareness Day. So I'll drink to that. Here's the World Autism Awareness Day. First Saturday in April is also National Love Our Children Day. I will drink to that. I love my children. I really do love my children. They're great kids. Here's to National Love Our Children Day. It's also National Handmade Day. First Saturday in April is also National Handmade Day. If you make something handmade, oh yeah, you know what? I'm gonna keep meaning to show this to you. My daughter, you know what? Oh, you know, there's nothing like getting a handmade gift. I mean, store-bought gifts are fine, and it's a thought that counts, and yada yada yada. But there's nothing that takes. That says special, like a handmade, a personal handmade gift. There is nothing more special about gift giving than giving someone or receiving a handmade gift that came from the heart. And I have received a number of handmade gifts from my very talented artistic daughter over the years. I received one. This was a gift that was really kind of cool. She put it in a frame. I don't know if you can see this really well. Let me give you a close-up. I kept meaning to show this to everybody, but I hadn't done it. All right, this is what this is, if you can't tell, I'm going to put it over. Maybe I can put it up on camera, too. It might be easier. There we go. All right. What this is a they got the lights in the way. What this is the inside of a computer. Now, I have a computer here that I built, the one that's running the system that we're using to stream with tonight, and it has a window in it. It has a window so you can see through it, and you can see the fan, the processor, and the fan has the lights and stuff like that, and you see everything going on inside. We've got a, where is it? Right here. We've got this, we've got a fan, a processor with a fan on top of it. We have a couple of memory modules. We have memory modules here. We have, what else? It looks like we have a chipset for the motherboard, the main board. We have some slots. We have, I think this is another module, memory module of some sort. We have different slots here for different add-ons. And we have, this is where the drives would reside. I'm going the wrong way. Here we go. This is where the drives would reside, DVD drives, hard drives, whatever, is there. And if you notice, really, I don't know if I can move this really close, but you see this right here? Those are bugs. That's kind of a joke here. Those are little bugs, okay? So you got a couple little bugs. So you've got the computer, and you've got the bugs, and she signed it. Yes, she did sign it. You've got some bugs, and three of them there. I think there are four, maybe there are five or six of them. There's seven. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It looks like there's seven little bugs in there. You know, for bugs in the computer. I thought that was pretty clever. She put this in a... Oh, this is really, really cool. It's a really nice gift. I'm going to hang this up one of these days. She's made a lot of things for me. Like, what is it? On this side here. Can't see it. Let me go back camera one. Right here. Eat, drink, sleep. That oil on canvas over there that she did. And she also did this in the corner. I showed you pictures of it before. But it's a wine glass holder. Very ornate. Very ornate wine glass holder. I got pictures of that somewhere here, too. Let's see if I can pull that up for a second. I have some pictures. I have pictures somewhere. Let's see if I have it on here. I don't have it on this machine. I showed it before. I'm going to see if I can pull that up. Maybe we can show it next week. But very, very nice. Very ornate. So here's the National Handmade Day. Wait a minute. We need to go back to this. National Handmade Day, first Saturday in April. I will drink to that. Now, real quick, April 3rd, which is tomorrow in another hour and 3 minutes. Sunday, April 3rd, 2022 is National Chocolate Mousse Day. It's also, I like chocolate mousse, yeah. National Film Score Day. Oh, yeah, I love film scores. You know, good movie scores. Sometimes I'll sit back and I'll listen to some movie soundtracks and things like that. National Film Score Day. You know, one of the first movie soundtrack albums I ever purchased. The first ones. Okay, and this gets into the sci-fi discussion. When the first movie soundtracks I ever... was the first movie soundtrack I ever purchased was... It was, and I still have it, I think, downstairs somewhere for the artwork as well as the record. But MGM put out when they released 2001, A Space Odyssey, they put out a two-album, was it two-album? I think it was two-album. No, maybe it was one-album disc set, but it opened up. It opened up, and there was a whole, with lots of pictures and, you know, images from the movie. And it was in Super Panavision or Super CinemaScope, I think is what it was. And it was really, really cool. I thought those images were really cool. But there were scenes from the film, and I purchased it long before I'd actually even seen the movie. And then I saw the movie, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. But it opened up. You know, it was like a double album style, and it was really cool. I still have it. It's one of the few albums I've never given up. Yeah, vinyl albums. Original artwork, 2001, A Space Odyssey. That was my first album. And then I think the second or third one I ever purchased was the double album for the original motion picture soundtrack for Star Wars. which became, of course, Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. But that was also a double album with lots of pictures and things in the middle. And that was another favorite album of mine. I may or may not still have that one somewhere, but very cool. Very cool stuff. Here's your National Film Score Day. National Find a Rainbow Day. Everybody find a rainbow. National Tweed Day. I don't really wear tweed. Tweed suits were popular. Didn't Barney Fife wear a tweed suit? Yeah, I think he did. You know, on the Andy Griffith Show, he would sometimes wear, you know, when he wasn't in uniform, he would walk around like he was going to dress up, go on a date with Thelma Lou or something. He'd wear like a tweed suit with a little bow tie on it. Typical Don Knotts humor there, but I think that was a tweed suit he wore, wasn't it? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what he was wearing, was a tweed suit. National Tweed Day. It's also World Party Day, so everybody get together. Let's have a world party. It's National World Party Day. Okay, I will drink to National World Party Day. Here's a National World Party Day. I will drink to that wholeheartedly. To National World Party Day. It's also, the first Sunday in April is also Geologist Day. We'll drink to the geologists. Here's to Geologist Day. I think that'll do it for the national days. And once again, this is what we're drinking. We're drinking the Almond K Winery Reserva Malbec 2020. It's from Argentina. It's 14% alcohol by volume. I never said I didn't like the wine, okay? I like the wine. The wine's pretty good. I just don't think this is particularly the best wine for pairing with food. I'll give you my final review at the end of the show. I'll tell you what I think at the end of the show, okay? That's okay. That's okay. Hey, stick around to the end of the show to hear the final review. All right, that does it for the national days. Let's see what else we got here. We got, I didn't mention the Puzzle Zone. We have a short video, a video short from the Boone Daily. This is another one. This is a regular feature we've been running here the last few weeks on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. We have another episode, I guess you could say, of the Boone Daily, another segment from the Boone Daily. And we're going to show that in just a few moments, maybe a few minutes. But before we do, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. We're going to talk about sci-fi a little bit. Okay. Let's talk about sci-fi a little bit. Because I mentioned 2001: A Space Odyssey. I mentioned Star Wars. I didn't mention Star Trek. But you know what? I saw a meme or something yesterday. With Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan holding a lightsaber. I think it was from the Cinema Shorthand Society, and they were talking about Alec Guinness. And it got me to thinking a little bit about some of the classic sci-fi stuff, which Star Wars is, of course, now a bona fide classic. And I got to a discussion, I think it was last night. I was on Amish Aces, if you're not familiar with Amish Ace, he does Lego building, but he's a really big Star Wars fan. He's on Twitch, twitch.tv/Amish_Ace_. And he's talking about Star Wars, and I kind of just briefly mentioned that, and he was showing off some of his books from that were canon and some that were not canon that were, how do you phrase it, that they were legend. So there are different classes of the Star Wars books that come from movies. Some of them are legend, Star Wars legend, and then there is Star Wars the canon, which, you know, comes, which stays right with the series. And I said, well, yeah, and then you got Star Wars Disney, which is, to me, is not canon at all. And I can't say it's really even legend, but it's kind of, I mean, with the last couple of films, the last three that came from Disney, I mean, they're canon now. they're kind of canon, whether we like them or not. That's what they are. Considered canon. I don't think anybody's going to redo them anytime soon. That's the thing about the original Star Wars three trilogies is that you don't want to. That's something you don't redo. I mean, here's the thing about Hollywood. Hollywood has a tendency of remaking films, and sometimes they'll remake a film just a few years after they've remade a film, and they do all these remakes. I'm not a big fan of remakes, and it's the same thing with the TV shows. I'm not a big fan of the remakes. One of the remakes, there are some exceptions. Now, I didn't really keep up with the Battlestar Galactica remake. I heard that people like it a lot better than the original Battlestar Galactica. I'm a purist. I like to stick with the original from what I knew, from what I grew up with. And I love Battlestar Galactica and the original series, you know, with Lauren Green and the classic actors. And when they first made the remake, I can't say it was a reboot. They rebooted the series, but it was almost like they completely redid it. I didn't watch it because I didn't want to spoil my memory of the original. I didn't want to ruin the original at all. I've seen a little bit here and there, snippets here and there of the series. It's not bad. I mean, you know, the snippets I saw were not bad. It's just I never really got into it because it was not the original. And people have told me that it's better than the original. Maybe it is. I don't know. I just never really kept up with it. But there are some remakes that I was – like when they made the Lost in Space movie. Now, I was a huge, huge fan of Lost in Space, the original series. I loved Lost in Space. When I was a kid, I wanted to have a spaceship of my own, a Jupiter 2. I wanted to, I mean, a robot and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was the coolest show when I was a kid. And, well, there were some other cool shows, too, when I was a kid. I couldn't say it was the coolest, but it was on my top 10. Other cool shows were things like, actually, several of them were Irwin Allen produced shows, like Lost in Space. Like, for instance, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. I enjoyed that. And Irwin Allen, the Time Tunnels, stuff like that. And, and then they run these classics now on MeTV. If you have access to MeTV, they run the classics there. I think they also run Land of the Giants, or they have been running Land of the Giants before. I don't know if they're still doing it at the moment. Another Irwin Allen production. But Lost in Space, a big favorite of mine. You know, by the way, you know who did the theme music for Lost in Space, right? John Williams. Yes. That John Williams from Star Wars fame. He did the music for, I think in the very beginning, I think the first season, they credited him as Johnny Williams, I think. It was one of those shows, the old shows that he did theme music for. They credit him as Johnny Williams. Anyway, so I was a big fan of Lost in Space. And when they came out with the movie, and yes, I do have the movie on DVD downstairs. I have watched the movie. It's okay, but I didn't consider it a replacement for the original series. I had a lot of disappointment with it, even though some of the original actors from the original series had bit parts or cameos in the series. It still wasn't enough for me. I still didn't like what they did with the movie. There were a lot of things with the movie that just took a lot of the heart and soul out of the original series from me. Now, I did happen to catch a couple of the episodes. Is it on Netflix? Is that what it is? Netflix or Amazon? I can't remember which. But I think it's Netflix, where they did a total reboot of Lost in Space, right? And I saw the first episode, and I'll be honest here. Okay, I kind of went in with a chip on my shoulder saying, this is not going to be good. I don't think they're going to handle it, because I've seen what they've done with other reboots and other shows, and I didn't like the reboots in general. But I could imagine, after seeing the Lost in Space movie, I could imagine that, well, this is probably not going to be good at all. But I tried to go in with an open mind and hope in my heart that they would go back to the roots of the original. Nope, not at all. In fact, they strayed completely away from the original series. I mean, the characters, they changed the characters so much. None of the characters were even, except maybe Will, maybe Will Robinson. They changed the robot up. They changed everybody up. And I think one of the characters wasn't even in the show, if I remember right. I don't know. But I saw one episode, and I hated it right away. I thought, you know, hate's a strong word. I don't like to hate, okay? Don't get me Twitch, because I said the word hate, okay? The Twitch bots out there, or YouTube bots or whatever, Facebook bots. I did not like the show at all. So, but the thing is, I said, well, okay, let me be fair about this, and let me catch a second or third episode. So I watched, I think, the next couple of episodes. I don't remember that much about the next couple of episodes, except for the fact that I liked it even less than the first one. And that was at the point where I bailed. And I said, and then when I found out they were ending the series after, I think they did a fourth season or something, and then they ended the series, I said, good riddance. I don't want any more to do with that series. They ruined totally. Here's the thing. When they start making rebates, 14% alcohol by volume. Okay, so when they start doing remakes and reboots, I was trying to say remake and reboot and it turned into rebate. When they start making remakes and reboots, particularly reboots, they generally completely overhaul the show. It's kind of like what Tom Cruise did with Mission Impossible. I love the Mission Impossible series. My wife and I watched a lot of the episodes, and it was a great series. Tom Cruise came in and he made it a Tom Cruise vehicle. It wasn't about the IMF team anymore. It was all about Tom Cruise. You know, it was a Tom Cruise show, Tom Cruise movie. And he totally ruined the heart of the show, I would say. Yeah, and of course they're immensely popular because a lot of the younger crowd, you know, they want all the action and stuff like that, and they want Tom Cruise and yada, yada, yada. You know, the star power of Tom Cruise. But in my opinion, he totally just destroyed what was the true essence of Mission Impossible. As a matter of fact, Greg Morris and a couple of the other people that were originals in the original show, Greg Morris, who played Barney, and who was it? I think one or two of the other characters in there, a couple of the actors there that went to see the premiere of the first movie that Tom Cruise did, they walked out on it, and a couple of them wouldn't even watch it. They wouldn't watch it at all. And then what did Tom Cruise do? What did they do in the second or third movie? They made Peter Graves' character, Jim Phelps, out to be a villain. And that was it for me. Shame on you, Tom Cruise. Shame on you for that. Anyway, so that was my rant on sci-fi. It's a lonely rant. Get in here and tell me what your favorite sci-fi shows are. Are the ones that are not your favorites. So the ones that are not my favorites are the new Lost in Space. And let's see, there's a new... They did a remake of... what else did they do a reboot of here recently that I didn't like? Okay, enough of what I didn't like. Okay. Talk about stuff I did like. They better not remake Babylon 5. That's all I can say. Okay. Or Firefly. don't remake Firefly. So anyway, that's my rant on sci-fi. It was supposed to be a rant. We're just going to talk about sci-fi. I'm going to turn it into one because I got to keep the show going. I have to keep it entertaining. It's off-the-cuff stuff, folks. I have a few dad jokes. And then if nothing's going on, we'll just show this short film, and then we'll close it up for the night. This is from the new dad joke book, as opposed to the old dad joke book, which I still have down here. This is what we're doing now. And we might give away another one of these. We gave one away last week. We have the dad jokes, and someone came in with a wonderful dad joke that I read and that I really, really liked. So he won the dad joke book. And I just sent him his dad joke book. I don't know if he's received it yet or not, but I did ship it out this past week. And I would like to give away more dad joke books. Let's pick one from a page here. Ah, here, right off the bat, a sci-fi dad joke. Okay. Every year, Godzilla looks forward to Mothra's Day. Every year, Godzilla looks forward to Mothra's Day. I like that one. But if you're not a Godzilla fan and you don't know who Mothra is, but come on, isn't everybody a Godzilla fan? And doesn't everybody know who Mothra is? Or what Mothra is? Giant moth. What do you call someone who pretends to be Swedish? Okay, I'll give you a second. What do you call someone who pretends to be Swedish? An artificial sweetener. Where's my rim shot there? Okay. I helped my dad install a new window in his living room. It was such a pain. The fact that our planet fully rotates in 24 hours really makes my day. That one gets a rim shot. There was a study that proved fast food chicken is only 50% chicken, which is not great if you want a chicken sandwich. But it is great if you're trying to quit chicken. I like that one. I like that one. That one gets a lot of laughter. Why are there so many pizza places in Chicago? They're all trying to get a piece of the pie. I got to read that one again. Why are there so many pizza places in Chicago? They're all trying to get a piece of the pie. Oh, I get it. Okay. Right. Okay, that one gets a... I once saw a man at the beach yelling, "Help! Shark!" Which to me is so strange. If I needed help, a shark would be the last thing I'd call for. Oh, yes, I like that one. A high-ranking officer approached a young soldier. The officer got right in the young soldier's face and said, "Soldier, I didn't see you at camouflage training this morning." The young soldier suppressed a smile and said, "Thank you, sir." Oh, yes, that's a good one. That's a very good one. I like that one. That's a good one. Okay, what do you call a can opener that doesn't work? A can't opener. What, to hear a joke about paper? Never mind. It's terrible. Nah. Ah. Did you hear the one about sheep? Did you hear the one about the sheep? It's bad. Oh, boy. Where's my... Oh, yeah. What about the joke about the bread? It's pretty crumbly. By the way, that's where we're eating tonight. Knock, knock. Who's there? Chicken? Chicken who? Chicken your pockets if you can't find your wallet. Huh? I don't know if I have one for that. That's okay. We got a couple more here. What is the Nevada city that dentists love to visit most? Las Vegas. How does mom always know what the weather will be? She has a thermometer. Two antennas got married on a roof. Everyone said the ceremony wasn't anything special, but the reception was fantastic. I've heard that one before. I've heard that one before. Okay. Yeah. Why did the camera get sick from its meal? Too much raw footage. Okay, that one I can get behind. A jumper cable walked into a cafe. The barista looked at the cable, rolled his eyes, and said, "You again?" The jumper cable shrugged. The barista said, "Okay, I'll get you a coffee. Just try not to start anything." It's a jumper cable. Don't start anything. Okay. You okay? It's a jumper cable. Doesn't start anything. I debated showing up to a pool party with six-pack abs or without working out at all. After a lot of consideration, I decided to go with my gut. I love chalkboards. They're remarkable. I've heard that one a few times. I knew this couple who met on a carousel. I think they're still going around together. Dad, be careful out there. It's raining cats and dogs. Okay, Dad. Dad, seriously, it's dangerous. You could step in a poodle. I think we're done with the dad jokes in it, don't you? That was pretty bad, even for me. Send in your best dad jokes or your worst ones. Send them in to rick@savoyamedia.com. Right over here. rick@savoyamedia.com. Send me your best and worst dad jokes. I'll read them on the next episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and you could win a prize. Maybe a good prize. I don't know. All right, that does it for the chat. Dad joke books tonight. Dad jokes tonight from the dad joke book. Okay, I think I've had enough, right? I think we've all had enough tonight. All right. I've got one thing to show you. One thing to show you, and I'm going to show it to you now. This is a video, a short video from the Boone Daily. This is from my son Tommy. They are out there producing videos for a show called the Boone Daily, and it's airing on AppTV.com. I think App State TV. He's attending this at App State. Now, keep in mind, this is college humor. I'm only showing you the ones that I can show you, and even that every once in a while might be a little bit interesting. But I'm going to show this one, and you can make of it what you want. This is called Got Milk. Yes, this is called Got Milk, and I will show it to you right now.
Muscular inflammatory lactose-induced kinesthesia. Is this you? 1 in 329 million Americans suffer from muscular inflammatory lactose-induced kinesthesia every day. Scientists are still racking their brains to figure out the specifics about this shocking new disease. Unfortunately, this guy is all they have to study. Symptoms include schizophrenic paranoia, paranoid schizophrenia, visual and auditory hallucinations, muscle spasms, explosive projectile diarrhea, suicidal thoughts, homicidal action, spontaneous combustion, and violent death. Surprisingly, no symptoms of muscular inflammation have been noticed. Got milk?
And that is Got Milk. Now, like I said, it's college humor. Anyway, so that's what I've got for you tonight. This is what we've been drinking tonight. Tonight we've been drinking the Amon K. What happened to my... It's updating Microsoft Edge. How about that? This is what we're drinking. The Amon K Winery Reserva Malbec 2020. It's an Argentina wine. This is a wine from Argentina. And 14% alcohol by volume. We're going to give you the final review here. Final review is, I like the wine. I like a good Argentinian wine. And I like this one. It's pretty decent. The only thing about this wine is that I don't think it's really the best wine to pair with food. It's okay. I mean, you have certain foods. Now, the foods we tried it with, they didn't work out too great, to be honest. But there are other foods that probably work out better. Maybe lamb, maybe something a little more gamey. That should probably be okay. But I thought that... this is a wine that's a really nice wine to drink. I like this wine if you're drinking it without food. This is a good wine to drink if you're just having it on its own. But with the food, I don't know. I might try a different type of wine than this one. That's just my personal opinion. But that is my final review of this wine. Sim Cinder says, LOL, Tommy told me about this one. Yeah, it's pretty funny, isn't it? Humor. College humor. From college. From a college. From App State University. So, we got a few more of these to show. We have a few more of these to show. But until then, we'll show them on another night. Not all at once. One every week, I think. All right, so that's pretty much all I got. Let's check the chats one more time. Final check of the chat. It's quiet in the chats tonight. Wow. There is one thing that I did forget that I'm glad I remembered now. Yes, one thing I did want to mention. I want to give a congratulations out to my good friend Daniel J. Lewis. Daniel J. Lewis is a longtime podcaster, as I am. And he, Daniel, I'm going to tell you, Daniel, he is celebrating today, April 2nd, 2020, he is celebrating his 15th anniversary in podcasting. His 15th anniversary as a podcaster. And I'm going to read a little bit of what he said here. He says, on this date, 2007, I published my first podcast episode called Two Dish, Two Wash, for a show then titled That Thing I Call Life. I soon renamed, recorded, and republished that podcast and its two episodes under the new title, The Ramen Noodle. Now, in his last 15 years, he's hosted about 1,000 podcast episodes across 8 of his own podcasts. That's about 2,000 hours of content. He's had 10 co-hosts. He's done some other things too. And he started this, according to what he said here, he said all this started with him in his basement talking into a $10 mic through a piece of used pantyhose wrapped around a wire hanger, simply a guy who wanted to tell stories. And the purpose of the pantyhose was to create a pop filter. He's just making a pop filter to get rid of the exploding peas. That's what it was. And that's how I started. That was my first. He did the same thing I did, except mine was actually, I still have it in the audio booth there. My very first microphone was a Samsung CO1U USB mic. And I made a homemade pop filter with some stuff from, it was like a little, I don't know what it was. It was like a little craft circle thing from the local hobby shop. and I stretched out some pantyhose across that and made my own homemade pop filter and stuck it, you know, next to the mic. And that was pretty much what I had. Now, some things that he didn't mention here is that Daniel also went on to host, besides the Ramen Noodle, which was kind of a comedy podcast, he went on to host, and he still hosts, the Audacity to Podcast, which is a great show to listen to if you're getting into podcasting and you want to learn about Audacity, which is a free application for editing, for recording and editing audio. I want to say podcast, but pretty much any kind of audio. I still use it sometimes and for certain things. And he does this show, The Audacity to Podcast, and basically he gives tips and tricks and training on using Audacity for doing podcast production. Great stuff. Daniel, I want to say for your 15th anniversary in podcasting, I want to say happy anniversary. And may you have many, many, many more. To Daniel J. Lewis, happy anniversary. Drink to that. A third one. Three times, right? Okay. To Daniel J. Lewis, happy anniversary. Your 15th anniversary in podcasting. I'll drink to that. Okay. Congratulations, Daniel. CM Sender says, you mean you used an embroidery hoop? Yes, I did. A small one. They made them in different sizes. And they were made of, I think they were made of bamboo. And so they had an embroidery hoop. Thank you very much. That's what it was. I don't do embroidery, so I didn't really know what they were called. But it was an embroidery hoop. It was the small one. And I stretched, and this embroidery hoop has two sections to it, you know, to where you can stretch the material out, and then you put the outer hoop on there to hold it in place. So I used that to stretch out the I double layered the pantyhose, stretch it out, and then secured it with the outer hoop, and then I held it in place. I kind of clamped it in place, and then set it up on a clamp, and that's what I used for my first pop filter. And actually, I painted it. And not only did I do that, but I took it. I think later on, I went to. I think I went to a plastic one. I think one was a bamboo one, and then I think I went to a plastic version of it, and then I painted it black, I think is what it is. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But I still have it. We have pop filters in the audio booth now that are actual pop filters that we purchased, but I think I still have the original one that I made some years ago. So anyway, that's what I got. Yes, an embroidery hoop. That's what it was, CM Sender. Thank you. All right, so that does it tonight. And once again, I gave you a final review on the wine. Next week, we're going to open up something different. We're going to try something different. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to open a little bit of a different wine. Maybe some more dad jokes. I really would like to give away another dad joke book. And I just ordered a book from my good friend Maxwell Ivey, the blind blogger. I said it again, and he wrote a book about dieting and weight loss. So I ordered it. It's arriving tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to reading it. And if I like the book, I'm going to do a book review on it maybe next week, and maybe we'll give one away. We'll see. Anyway, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Join us next week. And also, you know, there's one more celebrity on this Saturday Night Wine Stream that I'd like to give out, that I'd like to talk about. And I'd like to bring him out right now. And that would be, if I can get back camera one here, and that would be my good friend and compadre, Roadkill Bill. It's Roadkill Bill, everybody. And that's who we have here. Roadkill Bill. Now, the reason Roadkill Bill is here is because he has nowhere to go. He's Roadkill Bill. So he just kind of lays there every week, waiting for the next episode of the show so we can tell you together, please do not drink and drive. Yes, Roadkill Bill, he has a message about drinking and driving. Do not drink and drive. Drink from the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, whatever it is. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend. It's really best to just stay put if possible. Right, Bill? See? He knows. It's not worth it, okay, to put yourself and others at risk. Certainly don't want to put Bill at risk or others like him at risk. Right, Bill? Don't text and drive either because it's also dangerous. Because I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.